From Luke's Gospel in chapter 23, beginning with verse 33 and following, when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, as he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we approach Thanksgiving this week, I had this season on my heart for much of this month and giving special consideration of what it is that we have most of all to be thankful for. We spoke about it in our Bible study with my young folks. We have our 5th grade through 8th grade that we're studying right now, the Gospel of Matthew. We're on a 4-year journey to take us through the New Testament. And in that scripture study this week, we came across the call of the Lord for us to be thankful. And we discussed, me and us young theologians, why is it important for us to be thankful? Guys, help me out if I leave out one, but I think there were a couple things that really came to mind. We're thankful because it makes others feel better. We're thankful because God is good to us, was some of the answers that came out. But also one of the questions that rose to mind most of all when we considered why are we thankful was this statement, that it blesses us too. We're more joy-filled. We're happier when we practice gratitude. When we count our blessings and consider what God has done for us, we're happier to be around. We're an inspiration to others. We talked about in that Bible study how surely that is one of the reasons God calls us to be people of worship and gratitude. Because He wants us to know the joy and fullness of life when we are people who embrace attitudes of gratitudes. You know, I think back during this community service that we're going to have this evening where we join together and we give thanks together. We sing hymns. We take offerings. We share in this community service and express our thanksgiving to our holy God. Back when I first began my ministry, I led a community thanksgiving service. And it was a much simpler event. It was during the day. And during that service, we had a portion of the time of worship to give thanks for what God had blessed us with. One of my dear members of the church where I was pastoring there in North Alabama was a gentleman named Hugh Kaler. Hugh had been in a wheelchair for many years of his adult life. His body had been plagued with illnesses, but he always had this vibrant smile on his face. And I remember as a young greenhorn pastor gathering there with that congregation that as we started giving thanks, I didn't need to thank God for my health because I didn't want Hugh to feel bad about his health. So in the midst of all the things that I was thanking God for, I heard during the moment where we paused and did our quiet thanksgiving, people started impromptuly saying things that they were thankful for. And in the midst of that service, one voice spoke up and said, "God, I'm thankful for good health." It was my friend Hugh, sitting there in the wheelchair, giving thanks for what God graced him with. Wow. What a spirit of gratitude that taught me, even at that young age as a pastor, that surely this is true. The more we are thankful, it seems the more we have to be thankful for. God yearns to bless us with His strength. We spoke of this morning in our Sunday school that the strength that we gain from God, Paul the Apostle said this, is to have patience to endure whatever we're going through. That with His strength we indeed can be thankful. We can embody that attitude of gratitude. When we consider Thanksgiving, it certainly is appropriate that today we also celebrate and consider Christ the King Sunday. As Jesus our Lord journeyed to the cross of Calvary, is there anything that we can be more thankful for as people of faith? That Christ would take on our sin to set us free for life, love, and joy forever. You know, I saw recently where Rick Warren, many of us remember, a Southern Baptist minister and the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, was asked to write the foreword for the Life by Time magazine that celebrated the life, rather, of Mother Teresa, a Roman Catholic nun. And in that reflection, Rick Warren had this to say about Mother Teresa. He said, "People from all over the world listen to Mother Teresa." And he said, "When I consider why that was," he said, "I call it the Mother Teresa principle." This is how he described it. I'll read it here. He said, "The more you care about the powerless, the more power you have. The more you serve those with no influence, the more influence you have. The more you humble yourself, the more you're honored by others." You know, as much as Mother Teresa embodied that, it was Jesus our Lord that embodied that humility the most. As we heard in our scripture this morning, that Jesus gave up His crown in glory to embrace a crown of thorns. As the chief priest sentenced Him for what He didn't do. He was falsely accused. He was betrayed and deserted. And in all of that, He embodied the humility of the cross to set us free forever. Yes, Jesus, even more than Mother Teresa, took on the humility, the brokenness of our world, that we may have life. So more than anything else, that is what we give thanks for today. Our scripture tells us that that journey to the cross involved pain and persecution. Yes, torture and beatings. But perhaps most of all, to many of us, it speaks to those of us who don't know what it's like to be punished physically, to be beaten or imprisoned. But the fact that Jesus received mocking, humiliation, and laughing by those around Him. Is there anything that plagues many of us in school more than that? To be made fun of. To be falsely accused. For somebody in our class to say, "We did something we didn't do," young people. We can relate to that. How it hurts our feelings. How it separates us from having good relationships makes us mad and angry. Those certainly could have been the emotions of Jesus. To be angry with the world that rejected him, who placed false accusations upon him. But even in the midst of that, Jesus said this as he hangs from the cross of Calvary. Our scripture says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, that's the gift of thanksgiving. It's the forgiveness of our God that delivered us from our brokenness, that we may have life forever. So Jesus endured the cross of Calvary. That's how he set us right with God. But as we consider that, I also wonder why. Have you ever asked that question? Why did Jesus have to endure the cross? Why was it important for him to suffer persecution and rejection? What was it that we needed to be conquered in our life that Jesus conquered for us? Well, you know, Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 3, Paul describes it this way. In Romans 3:23, Paul says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In other words, our brokenness, our shortcomings, is what separates us from God. Understanding it in a practical sense, if we, as broken people, want to be with a holy, perfect God, then we have to be restored. God in His holiness could not have us in His presence eternally in heaven in our brokenness. We needed to be set right. Our sin needed to be conquered. And how did Jesus conquer that sin? By taking on the consequences of sin for us. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary. Because we who had sin could not get rid of those consequences. The natural laws of creation that our Lord ordained was that sin leads to death and separation from God. So Jesus turned it upside down. Just as he gave up the crown of glory and embraced the crown of thorns for us, Jesus also endured sin, although he had not sinned. He lived the consequences of sin. He suffered persecution, rejection, denial, betrayal, and even death. He endured all of the pain that the sin of this world could give, even though he was perfect. In doing so, that's how God conquered the natural law and consequences of sin. You know, it would be so beautiful if Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross of Calvary, I've thought at times. What if God would have just flipped a light switch and said, "I know y'all sinned, but I'm just going to wipe the slate clean," right? God's all powerful. God can do anything. But if God were to do that and just make our sin disappear, that would have been nothing but magic, right? And our God doesn't do magic. Our God does miracles. Miracles. Where the laws of sin and brokenness from God were conquered by one who suffered for our sake to set us free forever. That's the gift of life that we have in Jesus Christ. So as we reflect on that, and giving thanks, may we consider the small things and the large things in life. As we talked about in our Sunday school this morning, Grace Ann made the comment. She said, "You know, there's so many things that we take for granted daily that we don't give thanks for. A good home, plenty to eat, family who loves us, good health." Good to see Vince back this morning and doing well from his surgery. Paula told me she was worried. Said he's not the best patient in the world. How many men out there do we have as good patients? You know, we were talking about that the other day. My mom was in the hospital for several days and Manya said, "Yeah, Pop was just in a terrible mood, and he wasn't even the patient. He was in the hospital. Us men don't do good with sickness, do we? But after we've been through it, we can give thanks. We can give thanks for our health, for those who care for us, for those who journey with us through life. In the midst of all of our gratitude, may we consider most of all that Jesus Christ has conquered all of our brokenness, that we may have life, love, and joy forever. And friends, if you're hearing these words today and you've never began your journey with Christ as the Lord of your life, you can do that. It's so simple that we've been given a model in our faith called the ABCs of faith. It embodies what it means to be a child of God. First, the A. We admit that we are sinful. We understand that our imperfect life prevents us to live with a perfect God. So we began by admitting, confessing our sins. And then the B of the ABCs. We believe that Jesus Christ is perfect. You see, the A, we focus on our imperfection. The B, we focus on Christ's perfection. We believe that He can conquer our sin, and He is the Son of God. And then finally, the C of our journey of faith, we confess Jesus as the Lord of our life. We say that in every way we can, God, we want to repent. We want to turn. We want to turn away from journeying with the world, and we want to journey with You. Will You be our Savior? I share that ABC journey with you. For if you've never began that journey official, you can do that today. Visit with myself or a church leader and pray that prayer to begin your life with Christ and continue to grow in His grace. How beautiful it is in our scripture today that the thief on the cross gave us his model of conversion. The thief on the cross didn't walk down the aisle of the church. He didn't stand up before a great assembly. He simply said this, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, the thief embodied that ABC. He knew he was sinful. He believed that Jesus could deliver him, and he confessed Him as King of Kings. May we do that journey daily and embody His love as people of gratitude and people who live lives reflecting His love and glory in our world. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this day of worship where we've considered our brokenness and Your fullness. We are people who, even as often as we strive, we fall short of Your glory. We need Your strength, O Lord, to walk more in Your image. But we begin that journey, Lord, by trusting most of all in You. Will You renew Your love for us today? Will You help us to believe in a way maybe we never have before, that in giving our life to You, we also empower and strengthen the world around us to see Your love and reflect Your glory. Help us, O God, to continue to be Your light of love to our family as we count our blessings to our country, as we give thanks for our freedom to our friends, as we embody them as a part of Your children as well. Lord, bless us as we bless the world. To Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.